Insurance companies in our most important time of need can be so crushing. Matthew Hale, attorney at law and your legal first responder, fights for you, proving to a jury what you actually need for a return to your best life. Matthew Hale understands why your trust is not easy to come by. Simply, you don't just come by trust. You fight for it.
Contact me, Matthew, today. MRHALELaw.com.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Friday and the ramp up to the Memorial Day weekend. Mostly cloudy skies to start Friday out with some heavy winds out of the south at 20 to 25 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy skies and some sun breaks later on this afternoon. High temperatures around 61 degrees. Tonight, cloudy and breezy conditions. Low temperatures dropping down to about 53. For Saturday, clouds to start the day off with some showers arriving later. Highs around 61. For Sunday and the Memorial Day Monday, more sunshine expected. High temperatures low to mid-70s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk 1150.
The vibration of change. That magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. Yes, it can seem rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, and it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of your inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. Here on the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Are you ready to step into your vibration of change?
Welcome. I'm so glad you're joining us here on 1150 AM KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm excited about our show today, and I want to say a shout out to our wonderful producer, Mr. Benny Mathers. Hello, Benny.
Hi, Christine.
I'm happy it's Friday, and I'm actually in the San Juan Islands right now, so I'm happy to be out here for the long weekend.
Yeah, you got a jump start then. You even beat me to the punch.
Yeah, although you know I've been like doing fun things like cleaning off dirty chairs and stuff like that. So
that might be a vacation, you know.
That's,
I mean,
true.
Change of pace, you know.
Yes, indeed. Do you have any big plans for the weekend?
Usually every year around this time for Memorial Day weekend, I head over to Eastern Washington. I have a friend of mine, they have a home over there, so I usually kick it with them around the Columbia River Gorge area and just kind of get away from the city life for a few days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really looking forward to our show today, Benny, because we're going to be talking about why women in particular in heterosexual relationships, why they have issues choosing the wrong man, and how to step into a healthy relationship. Our guest today is Dr. Marnie Feuerman. She's a licensed psychotherapist, an author, a speaker, a workshop presenter. She's nationally recognized for her expertise in relationships. She's a sought-after media contributor, syndicated freelance writer, and she's got a private practice in Florida working with distressed couples. She is the author of a very interesting book called Ghosted and Breadcrumbed, Stop Falling for Unavailable Men and Get Smart About Healthy Relationships. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Dr. Marnie Feuerman. Hi, Marnie. Welcome.
Hi. It's great to be here. Thank you.
You know, it's funny because we are in an age now where it's easier to be ghosted and breadcrumbed because we are in the age of the internet and the text messages and the WhatsApp and all that stuff. Why is it particularly important today to be addressing this topic that you address in your book?
I think you're right on that. It has become easier to do this to people with online dating and the apps. I think it's important for several reasons. I think nothing has changed in terms of people really wanting a loving relationship and wanting to partner up and find the person they can share life with. But also, I think people need to develop more of an empathy for each other and for the process. And it's sad that a lot of that has gotten lost because you can be so anonymous online. And it's
right.
Easy to ghost somebody or just not treat them right and not think anything of it. And so I think it's important for a couple of reasons, you know, including those two.
So do you think that everybody longs to have a healthy relationship with a significant other?
I think the majority of people do. I'm sure there's a few that, you know, don't care and want to live in isolation, or they have a very maybe their needs for that type of contact with somebody has been squashed. But I think we thrive. I mean, the science tells us we thrive from having loving, healthy relationships. Certainly, you know, a romantic one is one type of relationship, but just having friends, family, having people we feel connected to, feeling that we have support, we're not alone in the world, we have people we can reach out to that we can count on, and we're healthier when we do that, when we can reach for people and we know that they're there for us. We do better. We thrive when we have that.
And I think how we've evolved from tribal cultures, so it must be in our DNA to have connections like that.
It is evolutionary for sure, particularly romantic relationships. That's why we have the spark, the attraction to somebody. If we didn't have it, we wouldn't be pairing up, right? We wouldn't be reproducing. So it definitely has evolutionary components to it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So in your book, you talk a lot about attachment style. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about what attachment is and how it can be both healthy and dysfunctional?
Sure. Yeah, attachment is probably one of my favorite topics.
Mm-hmm.
And attachment theory, which is it's not just a popular theory in psychology, but it's a pretty well-proven theory. So when scientists have tried to replicate, determining what attachment is and how attachment styles develop, they're finding a lot of consistency in the replication. And so we know that attachment styles do develop from our early relationships, most mm-hmm. often in our family, the family we're born into. And these patterns develop with a primary caretaker, which is usually the mother, but it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Right.
And attachment is the deep, enduring emotional bond that connects us to somebody. And so when we first enter the world, we can't take care of ourselves. We rely and depend on somebody to do that for us. And so the consistency of that care, the quality of it, we know can really vary. We have, somebody who can, you know, a parent maybe who was, or a caretaker, who was super consistent and reliable and soothing and did all the right things.
Uh-huh.
And then we can have caregivers who are extremely neglectful or even abusive. And so the quality of that bond exists on a continuum.
Mm-hmm.
And when they first studied attachment, they looked at it between the parent and child, and they were able to distinguish these different styles that develop. And they didn't know until many years later when other people, other research started looking at it and realized that the attachment system is reactivated in our adult romantic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so those early experiences create like a blueprint or a template for us. So we internalize these attachment figures. So if it was a parent, later on, if, you know, depending on what happened in those early years, we tend to think and expect that. It impacts how we see ourselves, how we see the world, how much safety we feel and security, you know, whether we think, hey, people are dependable and reliable. You know, when something comes up that I need, somebody is there that responds, or on the contrary, they weren't, or even worse, there was some type of fear instilled. And so those types of undercurrents run along with us, and so that definitely impacts our choices later on.
Yeah, and based on my own experience and that of so many of my clients, friends, and colleagues, and books I've read, I think there's probably a whole lot of dysfunctional early attachment. And it's so you're saying that what we had as a child, we recreate as an adult, and that's scary.
Yes. It can be very scary, especially if it's not, if it wasn't good, or it was dysfunctional or unhealthy, or if it was even for some people where it's, you know, traumatic. And, you know, I think there's different reasons that that we then do that, or we keep kind of replicating it, as you say, even though some people on an intellectual level, so you can say to yourself, hey, I know this is wrong, it doesn't feel good, or I'm in pain, or I'm really struggling in this relationship, yet there's something that's familiar to it. And we also have what's called our implicit memory that can be running the show. And implicit is the memory that's part of our unconscious mind. So we're not so aware of it. We just know, huh, something feels kind of the same to us, and so we just continue with it. For example, and this is one that happens quite a bit, where a parent is an addict, and then the person in their love life keeps choosing addicts. And it's just, you know, it feels like that's what they know, or they've recreated it, or they keep trying again and again to get some particular need met, but they've really created a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's just not going to happen. They've just created the same situation, and it's not going to change necessarily.
So, Marnie, do you think that beyond the familiarity, do you think that on some level we will recreate the same sort of situation in order to heal from that early dysfunction?
Sure. Yeah, it's like there's unfinished business there. And so we do try, it's like we're trying again and again to master this and heal it and resolve it. Yet it doesn't work out that way usually. So, you know, instead it's just like Groundhog Day instead.
Right.
You know, unless you have, you know, I mean, sometimes I would say you can heal it. If you have a partner that recognizes it too and you're both on the same track in healing it, and you both are able to say, hey, this is not working, we've got to do something about it. But often that's not the case. Usually it's sort of the same thing over and over. And it is an attempt to heal, but it's not a successful attempt at that.
Yeah. We have to go to a quick break, but when we return, Marnie, I'm going to want you to share about how we can get out of that awful Groundhog Day. Stay tuned for more with Dr. Marnie Feuerman.
Vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stressed? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breaths to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
How many times do you find yourself saying, "It was nothing"? Next time someone tells you, "Great job," you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self. Check out her website, couragetobeseen.com, and listen to the first Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. Pacific with host Sherry Clark. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Show here in KKNWN Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking to Dr. Marnie Feuerman, and we are talking about how women end up choosing the wrong medicine. Earlier, Marnie, you were talking about how we recreate the same situation from childhood, like the adult version, as we choose a mate. How do we get out of that vicious cycle?
There's a few ways you can get out, which is really great news. The number one thing that people are going to want to do is develop the self-awareness. And that can be a little tricky, right? Because obviously if we, you know, developing insight is certainly one big piece of it, and then setting some goals to actually make the changes. But we have, you know, we have good science now. We have we know a lot more about how we can get stuck in some of these tricky places in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
A piece of it is understanding how love works, so educating yourself on the science of love, what happens to your brain when you're in love. And one of the things that we know is that a lot of times our rational thought, our judgment is offline. And that implicit memory, again, is online, and that we can feel like we're on drugs. You know, it's almost like the same thing. When they've done MRIs of people's brains, when they're in love, they're lighting up as if the person is taking cocaine. So it's really, knowing that, realizing that, and that you may not be making the best decisions, and it takes a lot of time, giving a relationship a chance to really evolve and develop, and don't rush it. And also something that I talk about in the book too is the people that are around you, that care about you and love you, your friends, your family, the people you already trust, sometimes they can clue you in. And if you can take in their feedback non-defensively, which I know sometimes people have a hard time doing when it's about somebody that they're involved with, you know, that can be really helpful also in developing the self-awareness and understanding attachment, like what we just talked about, sort of understanding how it works, and that some of the ways that you might be even acting in a relationship could have to do with your early family patterns and your history. So you're going to want to track that and get some knowledge about that so you can see, you know, maybe, hey, these things weren't so healthy. These things didn't didn't really maybe teach me enough to really have that sense of self-worth and to feel safe and secure in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And another way, of course, is always therapy.
Right.
And a lot of therapists work with this day in and day out. And certainly a therapist with more of an attachment orientation will have this knowledge and will help you connect those dots so that you can begin to develop more of a, like what I call it, like a coherent narrative. So you need to understand what happened to you, what might be affecting some of your behavior in relationships and your choices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about blaming, so I just want to make that clear. I don't want people to go and think I'm telling them to blame their parents and all of that. It's less about that and more about just kind of saying to yourself, here's some things that affected me, and I need to understand them and get them, and so that I can, you know, really know what I'm doing here and make better choices. And I also like people to really clearly define their values and what they want, what's most important to them, and that somebody needs to line up with those values. And if they don't, they need to move on, and not just go with the feelings that they're having. That could be great chemistry, but chemistry can fool people.
Right.
So I want them to keep their rational brain online as much as possible.
Yeah. So it sounds like these sort of the connections and the possible interventions, it requires that, first of all, we don't like just get so totally involved in this relationship that we're shunning the support system or, you know, like neglecting our other relationships so that we don't have the opportunity to get feedback from others, that we have the wherewithal to actually connect with the right therapist if we've had issues in the past with unhealthy relationships, and so we can avoid some of these things and not to just like go with the drug effects of falling in love and use our rational brain is what you're saying.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, those types of things are so important in figuring this out so that you won't keep repeating it over and over again. And we have a lot available to people. And one of the reasons I like the idea of putting out a book is that they're very inexpensive. I know that a lot of people can't necessarily afford a therapist, but we have great resources now, some that are available online. You know, you just want to be careful that the site is reputable. We have a lot of good books out there that people have written. And luckily, this is easily accessible and relatively inexpensive. So I think having that knowledge and just understanding things better will really help you in making different changes.
Yeah, and I think that, whether you could afford it or not, I mean, even if you can't afford therapy, if you start reading something and say, oh, wow, I've had this pattern of relationships and this looks like what it might be, maybe I should talk to somebody to help me through it. So it gives you a heads up that you need to connect with somebody who can help you work through it.
Yes, and therapists actually, in a way, become like a surrogate attachment figure in a way. So the therapist can really help the client be very reflective about what's happening, but also offer that unconditional positive regard, the non-judgmental space for them to talk about these things, and it can be a very healing relationship for the client because they're not necessarily used to people responding to them so well, and they're not understanding it or getting it. And so it's a very safe environment to explore these things, probably in a way that you can't really get that in a lot of other places. So it is a really nice opportunity to try to work some of this stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Now, part of your subtitle is Stop Falling for Unavailable Men. Like, what kind of spaces does unavailability have? What are the different types of unavailability?
I would say, on a whole, being unavailable is somebody who puts up barriers to intimacy. They're constantly blocking efforts that you might be, trying to make with them to connect, to develop a close relationship. to have more emotional depth. Women generally tend to be better at this on a whole. So,
that's right.
And so sometimes women, though, what they will do is even if somebody is putting up these barriers, they'll try harder. They'll think, they'll take it on almost as a project. Like, it's my job, or I should just show more compassion, or I can show this guy the way, you know. But you have to know when that's not working or when to stop or when you are starting to over-function or do too much, and you're the person really trying to sustain this relationship and it is draining you, or you're not finding that you're getting any fulfillment out of it, and it's out of balance. Mm-hmm. So that can come from a lot of different things. I mean, certainly the man's attachment history is a piece of it, but I think we also do men a disservice in the way that we socialize them. You know, we socialize them in very traditional masculine roles, and that, you know, to focus on achievement and being strong and keeping your emotions in check. And so when they get into a relationship with a woman who expects this, which is a natural thing to expect, but they really struggle with it, it could be really, really tough. And there's certainly men who are open to the idea of, I really do want to connect with, you know, this woman or my spouse or whoever it is. And so I'm willing to work on this. But then I think we have, you know, other people who may just dig their heels in and become really entrenched in, you know, no, I'm not budging on this. It's weak to show emotions. It's weak to have needs. I'm not going to do it. And so that's where you're going to have a pretty big problem, and then the relationship probably is going to break down.
Yeah. And I think that women tend to be like emotional fixers oftentimes in our culture, at least. And
yes.
So it's like taking on the challenge of helping fix somebody so they can be the proper partner.
Right, right. And I think it's okay to suggest change or to talk about something that's concerning you in the relationship. That's fine. I think the direct communication is a great idea. But I do want women to recognize when the person perhaps is just not, you know, either they're refusing or they're incapable of giving them what they're looking for, and when to stop, you know, when to say, you know, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with her. It's just she's recognizing that maybe she's not going to be fulfilled in this particular relationship and things aren't getting better or changing.
Yeah. We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more with Dr. Marnie Feuerman.
I'm Christine Epchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them, although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades. Science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biosphere. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Imagine that you can create anything you choose. Literally, imagine it. Join us to explore the neuroscience of imagination, intention, and ClearSpeak. Tune in to ClearSpeak Talk Radio with Dr. Ned Wolf on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Every fourth Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, as she explores how your inner dialogue, your conversations, and the words you choose to use can help set goals you keep, achieve greater health and resources, and feel the ease and flow of loving your life. For more information, visit JeanetteWolf.com.
Are you ready to create a life you'll really love? Then you'll want to tune in to the hit show Life Design Radio, From Adversity to Awesome with Susan DiLorenzo, live each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. No matter where you are in your adversity story, Life Design Radio has got you covered. Get ready to feel inspired, enlightened, and motivated. For more information about working with Susan, visit SusanDiLorenzo.com.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Where you are in the depths of life, no matter what you dream.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. That music is the wonderful Michael Tomlinson. He's been on the show before. He is an amazing musician. If you want to learn more about him, get some of his music, go to michaeltomlinson.com. I'm grateful to have a wonderful guest today, Dr. Marnie Feuermann. She's the author of Ghosted and Breadcrumbed, Stop Falling for Unavailable Men and Get Smart About Healthy Relationships. Now, Marnie, I know you were talking about some of the signs that somebody, a man, is unavailable, and so even healthy women sometimes, when they're not like recreating their childhood issues within the context of a relationship, even healthy women will choose unavailable men. And I'm kind of curious about that. And it seems to me that the most unavailable men out there are married men. And there are plenty of women who get into relationship with married men. Why is that?
Yes. The ultimate unavailable man is the married one or one in another relationship. This actually sparked the whole idea for the book to begin with, and then I expanded it to, you know, emotional unavailability as well.
Uh-huh.
But I got so many people viewing an article that I wrote online about it, and a lot of women emailing me, and their emails sounded so, they were in such torment because they were involved in a married man. At first, what tends to happen from what I've learned and read is that a lot of times the woman doesn't know the man is married when they first meet. The men are hiding this. So they're tricking them. Yeah, at first. They're coming off as being available. And sometimes when the woman finds out, many will just say, oh, that's disgusting, what a jerk, and they're done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. But we have a subset of women who are already sucked in, and they are already feeling such a strong chemistry, and they're immediately defining it as being in love. And
uh-huh.
So they're finding it so hard to leave, and then we often have the man is often giving them these different, feeding them these lines, manipulating, saying things to make the woman feel really sorry for him, making themselves sound like they're a victim, they're in, let's say, an awful marriage, or they're just waiting for the kids to go to college, and on and on and on. And so the women will stay in that, and then after a while they feel like they've invested so much time that they think, well, I've got so much time in this. Maybe I should just, you know, hold on a little bit longer. And so they can really grab on to promises that they're hearing from this person. And so they're feeling really, really stuck, and that it's so hard to leave because they feel so either bad for this person, or they feel like they're so in love with this person and chemistry is really strong. And we know that in these kinds of relationships, the intensity is very strong. There's a big sexual component to them in most cases. Mm-hmm. And that just, you know, keeps sort of feeding that type of relationship energy. And if we kind of go back to some of the things that we talked about earlier, a lot of it does end up having to do with those complicating pieces from somebody's early family history and their attachment history playing out. So it's the same type of thing, the same type of dynamics. But it becomes really, really difficult for these women to get out of these relationships.
Mm-hmm. So even though they're aware that it's dysfunctional and it may not have a future, it's likely not to have a future, women stay in them.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I think the intensity of it all, because of the secretive nature of it, the major sexual component to it, all of those things, I think, you know, are complicating pieces that may even keep a woman going in that type of thing even more than if it was just, let's say, an emotionally unavailable man.
Uh-huh.
The secretive piece adds a whole other dimension to it.
Hmm. So how does a woman get out of that?
I would say a similar way that, you know, for any of these relationships with unavailable men, whether they're physically unavailable, involved with somebody else, or putting up these barriers to intimacy, it's, again, developing the insight and the self-awareness, and so that she can realize, you know, why is this happening, mm-hmm. and then laying out a plan for change. Some of these women maybe don't even know, like, what a healthy relationship looks like.
Uh-huh.
And maybe they don't even have clearly defined values, like what is really important to them.
Uh-huh.
And so I think they have to take a real honest inventory about, you know, not just blaming the guy, but also, mm-hmm. okay, what am I doing? What are my behaviors? How am I acting? How am I contributing to this dynamic between me and another person? So I think figuring all of that out, but then setting very specific goals. And one of the most important pieces, I think, as well, that's important is for women to have a sense of purpose and feel like they have value, whether they're with a man or not, whether they're with
uh-huh.
someone or not, that they have a fulfilling life. They maybe
right.
have a job they enjoy, they have friends, they have hobbies, that they're not so tunnel vision focused on a relationship or having a relationship or a particular outcome here with a relationship. So I think she has to create a really fulfilling life in other ways, but also getting to the core of the self-esteem piece, the sense
yeah.
of self-worth, really healing that, not buying into that, and finding ways to feel really good about herself, and whose voice is it that she's hearing? Is she hearing her mom's voice, her dad's voice? Like, what is her voice?
Mm-hmm.
Because if she doesn't feel good about herself, that came from somewhere.
Right.
And so if you're not feeling good about yourself, if somebody good comes along, someone available, someone really wants to connect with you, you're going to push it away because you're going to think to yourself, do I even deserve this?
Yeah,
so at the same
yeah.
time that you're attracting and you're accepting the ones that aren't healthy or good for you, you're rejecting the ones that probably are good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things play into this.
So do you think that there's a high percentage of women who have such worthiness issues?
Have what issues?
Worthiness issues. They don't have the self-worth
yeah.
to really feel like they deserve that high-quality relationship.
Yes, I see that a lot. And so, again, you're not going to know your self-talk. You're not going to figure out what that is. You know, what are you telling yourself? Mm-hmm. Unless you examine it, unless you look at it and see. And then part of the piece with that, too, is there's an element of cognitive behavioral therapy even in that, which is, you know, some of the thoughts that you're telling yourself may not be rational, may not be supported by evidence. There may not be any proof of it, but you're believing it. And then when you believe it, you're going to find all the things that line up with that belief, and you're going to filter out the things that don't. And so it just keeps, again, going over and over and over again.
Can you repeat that last thing? Because I think it's really important.
Sure.
Yes.
If you have this belief system that you are not worthy, you're going to look at the world through that lens, and you are going to only find things that substantiate that belief, and you're going to disregard the things that tell you it's not true.
Yeah. Oh, that's so important, that we look through the lens of our beliefs, as you say. And so that's keeping us in that Groundhog Day perpetuation, isn't it?
It does. It's a big piece of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more about being ghosted and breadcrumbed and how to get out of it.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
It's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives. Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you?
Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. If you're looking to share the show later next week, it's going to get posted on ChristineUpchurch.com, commercial free, mind you, and off of the replay there. It also ends up in, I think, about 50 different podcasts. So share away, and that way you can help others. All right, Marnie. Before we go any further in this hour, and I want to make sure our listeners have an opportunity to figure out how to connect with you. What's your website, and what do you offer people?
Sure. You can go to Dr. Marnie Online, DrMarnionline, and on there you will find links to different services I offer, including a way to get to me and my practice down in South Florida. I also have a sign-up on there that you can receive my, different content that I put out by mail and all my offerings. I will be putting out e-courses. There's one I have right now that is also free for a short time that also goes into a lot of what we talked about, where I discuss why people keep repeating unhealthy relationship patterns so they can get a better understanding of that. And that's all free right now if you just sign up. And a lot of other information is on that website as well.
Yeah. And, again, the book title is Ghosted and Breadcrumbed. And I'm just, for our listeners, in case they're looking this up on Amazon or some other place, I'm going to spell your last name because it's not exactly the way it sounds. F-E-U-E-R-M-A-N. And it's pronounced Feuerman. All right. So I've got a burning question for you about unavailable men, because there's a certain class of men who seem available but aren't, and that is narcissists. Because when you first meet a narcissist, they can seem absolutely perfect, engaging, emotionally connecting, but things aren't completely as they seem. Can you share with the listeners a little bit about the dynamics of that?
Yes. I think almost every woman probably has at least one narcissist story, because it is so common. Like you said, when someone's narcissistic, they have a really an interesting energy. They're very charismatic. A lot of times they're good looking. They appear confident. They give off a vibe that really attracts people. And certainly, you know, when it's a narcissistic man, they're very attractive to a woman. A woman becomes very attracted to them and can then get easily sucked in. And then it's, like you said, it's not, you know, they're not what they seem, because then very slowly those narcissists chip away at your self-esteem and your sense of self-worth. Right. Narcissists are inherently extremely insecure. They have a lot of trouble expressing love and taking in love. They have a lot of trouble with empathy. Some are, you know, kind of stop at that, and then we have some that can actually become very abusive. And I mean, like emotionally abusive, psychologically abusive. It's very underhanded. It's very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to drag down your self-esteem, and usually they're very adept at doing that.
Yeah.
And again, because of, you know, possibly the chemistry and also the manipulation really keeps you involved. It's hard to get out. But if you start to realize that this is going on, that, you know, the abuse, like an abusiveness that's very subtle, or you feel as if you're starting to feel so bad about yourself in this relationship, and it's getting worse and worse, that it's probably time to, you know, hit the road and get away from this person.
It could be crazy making, though, because they're also good at gaslighting, so that Mm-hmm. If you think that there's something wrong and you're saying that there's something wrong, then their response can be, well, no, you're misinterpreting it, or no, that's not what I said, or you're crazy, or whatever. Sort of like, so somebody's got to actually trust themselves as opposed to, being manipulative in that way.
Yeah, it's a very, very tough and scary situation. And sometimes it really has to be pointed out by a third party.
Right.
If they end up coming, let's say, you can get them into a session and you have a therapist who can start to see that that's going on. Usually they'll point it out. But some narcissists are also very good at gaslighting. They try to gaslight even the therapist. So they want to keep everybody off balance. So it's tough. And I think, people end up in these relationships sometimes a really long time, and it just takes such a toll on them. And so it is, if you even are not sure, again, seek some advice from either a professional or a good friend or family member. Start sharing. Don't keep these experiences to yourself. You need somebody who's outside of it to kind of maybe pull you out of denial or, not getting what's going on, someone validating, yeah, you are not crazy. This is what's happening here. So that's an important part in getting out of this type of a thing with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Marnie, so what does a healthy, loving relationship look like? Because I think that so many people, and we're talking specifically women and in hetero relationships, don't know what that should look like. And so what is it we should be envisioning?
Well, if we think about some of the things that I talked about with attachment, that the quality of the bond comes from a consistent, reliable caretaker, somebody who shows that they are there for us. They helped us make sense of our experiences. They soothed us when we were hurt. They allowed us to express our emotions and understand our emotions and allowed a place for us to express our thoughts and all of that. Just like we want that, that would be a very healthy childhood to have. It's the same thing in an adult romantic relationship. So we want somebody who is accountable, they're honest, they're transparent. There is a lot of reliability and consistency. There's no mixed signals. There's direct communication, and there's also empathy. When you're hurt or in pain or you're suffering, and that person should be responding to that. They should be caring for you in your pain. And if they're not able to do that, that would definitely not be a healthy relationship.
Right.
And again, your values line up with theirs. So I think that, in a nutshell, would be, would define a healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm. So if we have... I'm just going to generalize here for a moment to end this. If we're able to get more and more of us out of that unhealthy childhood attachment style issues and into wholeness and healthy relationships, how is that going to affect society?
I think it will be immense for society. I think that healthy families, healthy relationships is like the bedrock of society. That's how we thrive. That's how we do well. One of the things that I think is even problematic is that when we look at research dollars and what's put towards the sciences, it tends to not go to things like this. They're not given money. You're not given money to study love and relationships and all of that. And it's, I think it's really missing the mark because this is something that is so important to people. When we reach the end of our lives, what makes us feel like we've had a successful life is our relationships. If we feel like we've had good relationships with other people.
Yeah.
And so I think it's it's critical, and so I think it will help society if we are able, if people are able to make these changes.
Great. Again, her website is Dr. Marnie Online. The book is Ghosted and Breadcrumbed. Dr. Marnie Feuerman, thank you, Marnie, for joining us here today.
Thank you. Thank you, Christine.
And thank you for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you'd like to empower yourself to step further into your vibration of change, please visit my website at christineupchurch.com, where you can learn more about my insights, upcoming events, and private sessions.